Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Chris Ross, Blues Alley.
Thank you so much for coming in. We've been having everyone in for this larger enterprise piece on all the local music venues, seeing the changing DC music landscape. So thanks so much for coming in.
You are most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Now let's start. Give us a little sense of the history of Blues Alley. When did you guys actually open down
Blues
in Georgetown?
Blues Alley opened in 1965. We've been in the same spot. The only major changes made to the property was there used to be a wall between separating the bar area from the performance space.
Yeah.
And the one of the owners in like 1972 tore down the wall without even closing.
Wow, that's crazy.
It made it and then started booking big national acts and stuff like that. That really sort of made us who we are. You know, anybody that's ever in the jazz world the past 50 years has played at Blues Alley.
Yeah.
I mean, Harry Connick Jr., Dizzy Gillespie, Sarah Vaughan, Maynard Ferguson, people like Eartha Kitt. It's really just a whole bunch of people. Phyllis Hyman, the late, great Eva Cassidy. The list goes on and on. We did a show with Molly Ringwald, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
did some different stuff. We've had everything, jazz, soul, blues, world music. I think we even had a comedian once.
Not yourself. You're a pretty funny guy, too, so we're not counting you? Okay.
No, definitely not me. Actually, I have performed once.
Really?
Yeah. We had a very slow night. I think it was storming, and there was a 10 o'clock show, and there were like four people in the audience. And the guy who was playing was joking with me, you know, said, gotta come up on stage, gotta come on stage. So it was terrible, just terrible.
When did you join them with them?
I've been with Blues Alley straight since 94.
Okay. Okay. And so you said it started in 65. Back then,
Georgetown was the night spot. I mean, there
like
were.
Cellador and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, they were on that strip between Wisconsin Avenue and the Key Bridge. There were used to be six, seven clubs. In fact, there was a famous article, I mean, a picture from an article, a famous picture from the Washington Post article of George Thorogood.
Wow.
Walking out of the cellar door with his guitar, still playing his guitar, walking across the street, I think, to the Crazy Horse. And I think it may have been Danny Gatton or something who was across the street, walked back across on the other side
and just switched spots.
You could see him, but his guitar, it's not like it was back day, now where we have wireless. So you could see his guitar is still attached to his amplifiers in the other club.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So what were some of those back then? What was the competition there? I know Cellar Door, but
the Cellar Door, there was a Crazy Horse. I think the Showboat Lounge.
Isn't there like a Paragon, or is that more of a disco club? I think.
Yeah, the other ones sort of escaped my mind,
but
the Cellar Door is of course the main one. They were sort of the spot to go to the Bayou. I can't forget about the Bayou. I don't think they were open back in like the 60s, but I could be wrong.
What's the secret to sticking around or outliving all those other ones? But why do you think Blues Alley stayed around and the others shut up?
The entertainment. I mean, we've pride ourselves in, one, providing a first-class entertainment experience. I mean, two, the room is unlike almost any other in the world. I mean, the way the stage is set up in sort of the center of the room, kind of, you know, in like more of a square, but kind of a rectangle.
Yeah.
The acoustics in the room, I mean, one of the best features is, you know, you get to see some, especially if you know the artist. I mean, people come to Blues Alley because it's a landmark now, but if you really appreciate an artist and they're playing at the club, you couldn't see them in a better place. I mean, the dressing rooms are upstairs, so the artist has to actually walk through the audience to get to the stage. I mean, there's so many times where you're sitting, or as an employee, I mean, me, as a manager, watching the crowd and everything, and as the artist walks through, somebody grabs your shoulder and you look up, and it's Dizzy Gillespie or, you know, Wynton Marsalis or somebody like that. And I mean, it's just that personal experience that you really can't get anywhere else. And on the reverse side of that, musicians love the club because you can't get that feeling anywhere else of the immediacy of the interaction with the audience. I mean, there's one thing you can't fake having a good time. And when you're that close, the audience can see it. Yeah. They get the energy from you, and it definitely energy feeds the musicians. I mean, it's almost like a sporting event. When the crowd is into it, you can see the level just rise and feel the level rise.
And they feed off of it.
Absolutely.
Which turns their crowd.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. It's a cyclical thing and a symbiotic relationship, man. And I've been to some rooms where the crowd has been dead. And you're just like, at the end of the show, it's just like, okay, then I guess we're done. You know?
Right.
And there's other crowds where where you can just feel the energy, where the artist just doesn't want to stop playing.
Right.
And It's an amazing room. I mean, it happens in a lot of places, but there's definitely something special about Blues Alley.
Absolutely. You kind of hinted at it a little bit. I want to dive into it a little more. And since we're radio, let's paint a visual picture, theater of the mind here. But when you walk in there, describe exactly what you see. If there's someone listening to this, it's hard to believe that's never been there. Describe the experience when you walk through those doors. What is it?
First of all, we're actually in an alley. We're physically in an alley. The alley, the city named the alley Blues Alley after the club, I think in the mid to late 80s, 90s, something like that. So if you actually like Google or put in your MapQuest Blues Alley, it'll actually come up to the club.
Bring up the alley.
First of all, the club is in the alley. So finding it is a bit of a trick. That's a bit of a niche too. I mean, it as a physical operation, it sucks being in an alley because you have to deal with all the aspects of being
loading
in an alley.
Not even
the load in, but the actual aspects of being in an alley. I mean, there's like six or seven other restaurants that are serviced by that alley. So you can imagine there's dumpsters. There's constantly stuff going through.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you'd get the radio interference with a cab driving through the alley. Every once in a while, you hear this, I'm cab 742, we're going to pick up. And in the middle of a show, and everybody would just look into kind of the show would just play it off.
Remix.
But anyway, okay, so anyway, first of all, we're down the alley. Where it's an old brick carriage house built in the 1800s. So you walk in, they're just one way in, one way out, basically.
Yeah.
The room is all brick walls. There are some old instruments on the wall, some pictures in the bar area. The bar area, you walk in, there's a bar area. Bar is to your right. There's one step up with maybe, I don't know, 25 seats in the little terrace area is what we call it. Immediately to your left is the main performance area. Low ceiling. First thing you'll notice is how low the ceiling is and how really small the club is. We seat about 120 people, depending on the stage setting. I mean, sometimes
exclusivity feel.
We like to call it intimate.
Yeah, exactly.
To say the least, it's definitely an intimate environment. I mean, if you come, most of our tables, I'll just go back to the description. Most of our tables are two tops and four tops.
Right.
And there's a stages in the middle of the is in the middle of the room. The seats kind of wrap around. The bar is to the back of the room. We have a small kitchen. We specialize in Creole cuisine. So if you imagine walking into a nightclub in the 20s, this sort of speakeasy kind of definitely has a speakeasy kind of feel to it.
The walls brick? I'm trying to remember.
Brick walls, yeah. Brick walls. We have some sound dampening material behind the musicians, so it's not as reflective.
Right.
But there's the stage. The best thing about it is the stage. Well, best and the worst thing about it is the stage is only one step up. So, I mean, you're literally in the. I mean, especially when we have like larger bands, like we'll be doing a couple big bands in December. Where it's 18, 19 piece big band, so we actually have to take the first row of tables out. So the band is literally in the audience.
Right in your lap.
Right in your lap. I call it seatbelt jazz. You just, put your seatbelts on because you're gonna,
it's gonna be a bumpy night.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of wind coming your way.
I love that. I absolutely love that. What do you? I mean, so that's obviously the fact that it's like this old throwback, speakeasy vibe. The historical aspect is obviously what sets it apart and why we keep coming back, because it's almost like a time travel. I mean, we get to teleport back at that,
I mean, we get now we get 5 generations of people at a table.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see where, especially like on alumni weekends or stuff like that, or graduation weekends where parents are coming in with their kids and like, man, I went here, or, or, when it's a orientation weekend, it's really cool seeing, especially during the holiday seasons when people come in. And like the holidays, we have artists that come back on a yearly basis that come in, like Alex Bunyan, who's there this weekend after Thanksgiving. He's been doing this same weekend for 26 years.
Wow. So your calendar has a bunch of mainstays where you're like,
absolutely.
We know he's coming this day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a curse and a blessing, because I have to make sure that I have to get a certain people in, and they have certain time frames. We have a couple of people that come twice a year, like Arturo Sandoval, Freddie Cole. Used to be Roy Hargrove, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest
that,
peace,
that
yeah.
one that one stung a little bit.
That was really recent. That was what, last week?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago? Something.
And at 49, he was one of my favorite musician that played the club. And just one of the most brilliant musicians we have that ever played the club.
Yeah. Do you find, because we've had a lot of the old, the other more historic venues here. I mean, you guys are probably one of the oldest.
Oh, we're one of the oldest clubs.
I mean, Birchmere, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you guys are, there's a few that have lasted as long as you guys.
We are the oldest continuing continually operating jazz supper club in the nation. There's other places like the spot in New Orleans that opened up, but they've been closed down or opened and closed.
Right. Continually operating.
Continually operated is the key term, but there are a few places that have been. I mean, Birchmere is 10 years younger than at least Maybe. Five, I think 10 years younger than us.
Maybe, yeah. But what's a, I mean, what, every time those guys or any of them, let's say, you know, a little of the older venues, when they've come in, I've been curious to get their take on, you know, how is the fact that so many other ones are popping up? Do you, is that, has that been taking away business, or do you still have a pretty good core, or how do you evolve with the times now that there's, you know, City Winery popping up, Anthem popping up, there's all these new ones that I feel like are the new kids on the block. How do you just keep your head down and keep the same formula, or do you update certain things, or?
It's definitely a conversation that I've had with the agents and people. I mean, DC, if you include the DMV area inside the Beltway, we have to have as many stages as New York, Chicago, LA, any other big city. I mean, there are a ton of stages for performance arts in DC. If you count all the little places.
Why would we want to do this piece, really?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. And it's, I mean, for us, we've been in a landmark, so people want to come to the club. I mean, we have to have the entertainment to keep people coming back and to bring people, wanted people to come to the club. I mean, some of the artists have been extremely loyal to us. I mean, I'm sure the people that have been in the area. DC is probably one of the fewer markets that doesn't have as, where the big corporations don't have a greater toehold as they have in other markets.
Right.
I mean, Seth at the 930 Club has that market locked down. People have tried to come in, and he's got a venue for every level of musician that he deals with.
Right.
I mean, fortunately and unfortunately for us, there's not a whole lot of money in jazz, so most people kind of stay out of our lane.
Right.
We have, you know, 120 seats where these other venues are at 500, 400, something like that. It's a blessing and a curse for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately for us, I can't compete with those venues.
Right.
So I have to rely on loyalty and doing my due diligence and finding new artists and finding something that's going to work and making it all mesh together and, you know, keeping it going.
Yeah. What sort of feedback do you get, you know, after a show's over, when people come up to you afterwards? And is there certain common things you always hear about? Dang, I really love this about this venue or that.
It's the venue itself. I mean, the venue itself is so special. I mean, as you talk to the artists that come to even play the show, this is one of their favorite rooms. And that's what, as we pride ourselves on being, of treating the artists like family. I mean, of course, a lot of people come around. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain artists like Gene Karn and Freddie Cole. They're I feel like they're family. I call them like Aunt Jean and Uncle Freddie because they come around like once a year or twice a year, just like the holidays. You know, you only see your certain parts of your family at the holidays, your extended family, I'll say.
But you pick it right up. You
know? Yeah. It's like, they come back. We've had the same, we've had some employees that have worked there longer than I have. There's a couple of them. Our chef's been there 30 plus. We have a couple other people that have been there a long time. So when people come back and they see the same faces over and over again, they have a certain comfort level with us. We have a certain comfort level with them. I mean, there's times where it hugs and tears when people are leaving the room. It's like, man, we miss y'all. Love y'all. We're going to see you next year. Yeah. Love playing here. Love seeing people here. I mean, I'm spoiled, of course, by working there, but there are a few places I'd choose over Blues Alley to go see a show.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add? I got a good 15 minutes on tape with you, so it flew by.
Man, this is one subject I could talk about incessantly.
If someone's never been there, why should they come?
For the experience. There's really, like I said, there's really no other place where you can see an artist that you appreciate in such a small, intimate environment. We are probably the smallest club on the international touring circuit. People play Blues Alley because they want to play Blues Alley. If that says anything about the club, I think that's a quote that I get a lot. I mean, I've had artists that have been offered greater amounts of money to play other venues, and they've turned it down because they really enjoy playing Blues Alley. We enjoy hosting them. We treat them like family. We try to treat our customers like family. They're customers that have been coming for years. It's a little difficult to have a regular customer with the cover charge.
Right.
But as far as like when people come to town or they want to entertain their guests, come to Blues Alley. It's great for your office parties. I call it one-stop shopping. So you get entertainment and dinner in one spot. Creole cuisine. We got great food. It's hard to beat Blues Alley.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.